Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Coburg is a long way from a farm in Alberta where Linda Davis, the CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital, grew up. Yet you will hear her mention several times in this interview about her love of being in the barn. Her daughter is an equestrian, and she loves spending time with her daughter. Last week, Davis announced her retirement. Her career spans more than 30 years in healthcare. Starting out as a nurse in Edmonton, she moved from the front lines to management, working across the country, including British Columbia, Quebec, and finally Ontario. She arrived in Coburg on November 18, 2013, having just left a hospital in Collingwood. She arrived at a time when the hospital was struggling with its budgets and the demand for services was growing with an aging population. As you will hear in this interview, one of her proudest moments was the victory of finally getting the Ontario government to provide more annual funds to fully support middle-sized hospitals like Northumberland. We took a few moments at the end of the interview to talk about the situation with the hospital and the pandemic and upcoming mass vaccinations. So here is my interview with Linda Davis. I'm so pleased to have with me today Linda Davis, the CEO of the Northumberland Hills Hospital. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob.
Deciding to retire is not made in an instant. Can you describe the process that led you to announcing your retirement?
Well, that's very interesting, and you probably should speak with my husband. But I think it's one of those things that certainly I really haven't been pondering for years. I have been very, very pleased with my career. I've loved every minute of my day and have certainly enjoyed and continue to enjoy my time at Northumberland Hills Hospital. I think it is at a point in time where you begin to look at family and the importance of family. And also, I also think that there's a time in every organization when it's time for different leadership or new leadership. I, in my last stint in Collingwood, was there for 9 years. I will be here for 8 years, shy a few months before I leave. And I think it is time for someone else to really take the reins. I believe I've given the organization everything that I possibly could. And I also think that new, fresh eyes are also very useful for an organization.
But in that light, though, I mean, you have lots of experience. You've guided through many things. Is there not a sense, though, that you want to carry on and continue to help grow and to shape the hospital?
I believe that a lot of shaping has gone on. And also, it's not just me. There's a team. There's a team behind me in the hospital, staff and physicians, leaders, as well as in the community with the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland. I'm just one player, and I think that I may have been able to help to spark the discussions to get us really becoming cohesive, but there are many now who are able to take it forward, and I feel that way about the community as well as the hospital.
What are some of the highlights?
Oh, highlights. My goodness, I guess I have to think of the day of the announcement of the base funding increase. I had such mixed emotions. I know I cried, and that is unusual for me, but it was a very poignant moment because it's something that this organization has struggled with for years, and I was so very pleased that we were able to have it recognized, and certainly the support of the Ontario Hospital Association, the support of our MPP, David Puccini, in order to make it a reality. I think that's a moment that I will not forget.
Besides the pandemic, what were some of the challenges you faced over your time with us?
Well, certainly I think the biggest challenge was the financial challenges and the fiscal instability, and that was something that was realized as I came into the organization. And so for a number of years, we continued to look to see where we could reduce costs, and that was very, very challenging. when there's growing needs and you know you need to be able to expand services, to be thinking about reducing services or trying to reduce costs was very challenging. I think that what it did, though, was having gone through that, it showed that there was little more to be found, and hence the need for that structural deficit to be addressed. So I think certainly that was one of the biggest challenges. I think the other is really having, I'm not sure whether it's a challenge, but it was one of the things that I think is very important in any organization, is to really build a culture of people working in the same direction throughout the organization and listening to people from throughout the organization. And it's just something that I've always done in every organization. I've worked hard to make sure that frontline staff have a voice, that we hear regularly from staff, physicians, and we engage all of our managers in decision making, as well as our frontline staff and patients and families. So I think that, and again, it wasn't a problem, but it was an opportunity that was here, and I have truly enjoyed that work, and I'm so very proud of the team, and that team strength showed itself through the pandemic. Our ability to rally so quickly, and I think you've heard me say this before, I couldn't be more proud of what the team did in such a very short time. But it's that all pulling in the same direction, all understanding the common goal, and all being so committed, and that truly, that culture exists both within our organization and within the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland.
Now, it's interesting you talk about that, because for many of us, we just see politicians showing up and giving checks, and everybody smiles and says, thank you. Can you take us inside that battle? What was the moment where you realized you had made an impact and actually changed the way that people saw medium-sized hospitals and the lack of funding and the need to properly fund this level of health care?
Well, it probably began with the conversation with the Ontario Hospital Association, because they represent a number of medium-sized hospitals across the province. And I, of course, Collingwood was the same, and similar financial challenges. So I understood it from that venue as well. And I think having the Ontario Hospital Association say, aha, wait a minute. And it's not that, you know, there were a number of us coming together and bringing it forward to realize that there was a difference, that there was a challenge, and to be able to take that forward to the ministry, to me was a very important moment as well for my colleagues in medium-sized hospitals and certainly for Northumberland Hills Hospital.
Now, the hospital board often sits in the shadows. They meet regularly and they make a lot of decisions that affect us. What are some of your memories working with the board?
Interesting question. I have some wonderful memories of working with the various members throughout the 7.5 years now. I think that I remember a discussion early on, in fact, when I was being recruited, and John Hudson and Bob Carman were on my selection recruitment committee. And I remember John Hudson saying to me, and I asked about the financial situation of the hospital, and he said, well, we're a little cash poor, but we're asset rich. And I said, oh, okay. And I remember that. Plus, I think that both Bob and John were so very aware, and what they instilled upon me was the, I think, the tremendous support that this hospital has from its community. And obviously that I've come to know and to learn throughout the 7 years. So not only just by the board members who are so committed to wanting to make this organization strong, but also to the work of the foundation and then all of the people who generously donate or volunteer their time to support the hospital. So certainly I think that was a very telling moment, learning, getting to know board members who give so much of their personal time and went well beyond what my expectation would be for a board member to help, to understand, to fight the fight of understanding medium-sized hospitals. And, I've really enjoyed getting to know them all. And what I will take away with me is the significant commitment that board members have made to the time of the hospital, getting to know us and supporting myself and the team at the hospital.
You have a great range of staff that work for you, everything from people who clean through to specialist doctors and highly trained nurses. Can you share any stories about your relationships with those people over the last 7.5 years?
Oh, now we only have, we don't have 2 hours, right? I think that it's really getting to know staff that makes a difference. And sometimes them just letting you know a little bit about themselves and their family. One individual who I've gotten to know, or got to know a fair amount, actually just left our organization because she was living apart from family. Excuse me 1 minute. And that is not a COVID cough. She and I had a very a tremendous, just a good conversation, and she said to me she didn't want to leave without having an opportunity to just have a great conversation. And I think those are just the things that that really make a difference to me, or a staff member stopping me in the hallway and telling me about their pet. One of the questions I always ask in orientation, we try to get to know each other in the orientation, and I always talk about my grand dogs. I don't have any grandchildren, but I have 2 grand dogs. And of course, I get to know the stories about their dogs as well. And some I can't remember just because of the number of staff in the organization, but many of them I will remember, and we talk about their pets as well. So I think it's about the relationships that you form. And I hope that that's what I will leave as well. I hope that staff will remember me as someone who they got to know and had a relationship versus just someone who may have been sitting in the CEO's office.
Who are some of the key players who influenced you?
That's a really good question. And I think there are many of them. I think that it's interesting because I started out in healthcare sort of by accident. I grew up in a family of 4 girls and 1 boy, and my oldest sister was a secretary, my second oldest sister was a teacher, the third was a social worker, and I sat there and said, oh my goodness, what am I going to be? And it ended up being nursing, because at that point in time, you know, many women were going obviously into nursing, and I absolutely enjoyed my career immensely as a nurse at the bedside and have wonderful fond memories. I think the person who influenced me to begin to look at management, I remember very succinctly, she's a well-known leader in the nursing field, and she said to me, I think you should be a manager for this unit. And I said, really? And she said, yes. And so it's interesting because prior to that, I hadn't really understood my own leadership skills or style or whatever. And I think she influenced me a great deal to begin to understand those and to learn how to develop them and to grow them and become a stronger leader. And then several of the leaders that I've worked with who have really, I think, impressed upon me that it's relationships. I have a sign in my office, and I'm looking at it right now, which says, people will forget what you said, people forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. It is about relationships. It's about getting to know people. And I think as other leaders that I've worked with, I have come to know that building relationships are one of the key important things in working as well as in your own personal life.
What's been the role of your family?
My family, my husband has been retired for a number of years, and up until, I guess maybe the pandemic has something to do with this, because he was very busy on the golf course, of course. This summer he did get out there, but this winter he hasn't been able to get anywhere to go golfing, and so that certainly is adding that little push to say, come on now, we need to be able to do some golfing together. So I think that family-wise, my husband has been just a fantastic support. He moved now twice with me. I moved with him from Vancouver to Montreal, and then as his role changed in Montreal, he said to me, your turn. So he followed me to Ontario, or came to Ontario, and since then we have made two or three moves, and he has managed to do that with me, and always maintaining his own roles until he retired. So he's been a fantastic support in my life. My daughter is someone who just, you know, you live and you breathe for. She is an equestrian. She's not on the Canadian Olympic team, but she loves to ride and has been riding since she's 8. And so on my days off, if I get time, I like to get out to the barn. I like to be with the horse, and I like to be with her. So that's my family.
What role did your friends play?
What role did my friends play in my whole career?
In your career, yeah, in being at the hospital.
I think that, and again, I've had friends across the country, Vancouver, Montreal, Ontario. I think it is, it's one of those things that always gives you that different view. When I can, you know, have a text or a quick phone call, or now it's a Zoom or a FaceTime with friends, that they, I think you need a balance in life, and that's what my friends have provided for me. I can't work 24/7, 365 days a week. So between family and friends, they have provided a balance for me, and certainly also always encouragement, and certainly, you know, great kudos when things have gone so well.
You sound like you work a lot and you do a lot of serious things. What do you do for fun when you're not at the hospital and you're not doing serious stuff?
I'd like to think I'm at the barn. I grew up on a farm, and I have great love of horses. I never did get an opportunity to ride seriously, but my daughter has, and I am a groom. So during the summer months, and I know when I retire, and she's looking forward to that because I can become the full-time groom. I spend a fair amount of the time, my time at the barn, and as I am going to try to become a better golfer. I have not, of course, I've always had to golf in hospital tournaments or those types of things, but I've never been a good golfer, and so I hope to become a better golfer.
Well, that leads me into my next question, which was going to ask you, what are you going to do once you retire? So you've given us two things that you're going to do, but are you going to stay in the area, and do you have some other plans for your retirement?
You know what, I haven't really thought any further than I've just made this big decision to suggest it's a date or a month. So I think that's stuff, things that we will be considering and reviewing with time. I have a sister who lives in St. Catharines. My daughter lives in Hamilton. I think it's important we will look to see, you know, where we can continue to live. And as I said, at this point, we have no plans other than, as I said, to make the decision and then obviously to try to do more golfing this summer.
I'd like to take a few moments before we part company to talk about the hospital and the pandemic. Have the frontline hospital staff received any vaccinations yet?
No, at Northumberland Hills Hospital, we have not received vaccine to be able to have our staff be vaccinated. We do understand that the province has had their priority areas, and certainly Northumberland has not been as affected, thank goodness, with COVID-19 positive cases as some of the other areas of Toronto or Durham. So no, some of our staff do work in other hospitals that may have gotten the vaccine, and so hence have been vaccinated, but that's a very small number. Some of our staff and our physicians who may work in Oshawa or in Toronto have received the vaccine, but no, we do not have that, and we don't know a date as of yet.
Is there anything that can be done to expedite this at all?
I think it's one of those things that we have to take and understand a much broader picture. I think, you know, everyone is reading the news about the Pfizer vaccine being slowed because of the plant changes in Europe. And so recognizing that there will be not the vaccines coming as quickly as we might wish them to, that we need to really be tolerant. As one of my colleagues said, you know, we've been in this pandemic now for 10 months. almost 11 months, and our PPE, or our personal protective equipment, has stood us in good stead, and it'll stand us in good stead for another month or two. And so that's really how we're approaching it. I think there is, I believe there, certainly that there's angst amongst our staff and physicians. They'd like to get the vaccine. We also know that we need to get vaccine to our long-term care residents and staff. So, yes, anything that I can do, I'm certainly in conversation with public health, and we will certainly be advocating, but we also understand that there are some challenges with the supply chain, as well as there's other priorities that perhaps may have a higher need than ourselves.
Now, we've heard a lot about other hospitals with intensive care units or ICUs that are full or overflowing. How is our hospital's capacity right now?
We are, I think this morning it was 108% full, and so we have obviously opened spaces that are not necessarily usually used. In our ICU, we have been running still with some empty beds. We have a capacity for 10, and we usually have two or three empty beds in our ICU, but really don't have a lot of capacity within the rest of our medical surgical beds.
We've also heard, though, that the Ontario government is urging the transfer of patients between hospitals to create room. Has Northumberland Hills accepted people from other hospitals?
To date, we have not, and that's been primarily because of our high level of occupancy. We've just not had the capacity to do so.
I can see how some people might, though, question this strategy, since we are bringing infected people into our region and thereby increasing risk to the staff at the hospital and the community at large. How is this a good strategy?
I think we really have to look at what's happening in the downtown hospital. Scarborough earlier this week admitted their 300th COVID positive patient, 300. And I feel for those staff and physicians, and I want to make their life as feasible as possible if we can. Our resources need to be looked at as a provincial resource. We're all taxpayers. These resources are here for all of us. And if we need to help people who might be living in another area, I think we need to do that, just as our peer hospitals as major centers help us. The Orange, as many people know, come in and out of our hospital sometimes several times a day, and people are going off to large regional centers to have care. And I think that we need to rely on each other. So we need to be there when our counterparts need us. And with our use of PPE, we should be able to care for these patients quite carefully without infecting anyone else. So I think it's just really trying to make sure that we need to be part of the system, because that system has been there for us.
Is there any planning going on surrounding the local vaccination plans beyond what we're getting from press releases from the government?
Yes, there is. In fact, we were just on a call with Public Health and the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland, which we do on a regular basis. And there is a mass vaccination plan being developed through Public Health, and they've already reached out to primary care physicians. I think that meeting just occurred yesterday, thinking about the role of public health, primary care, as well, certainly the hospital. We have a number of physicians who've recently retired who've volunteered to come back and to help support mass vaccination. I think the town of Cobourg is also has an MOU with public health to use the CCC, the Cobourg Community Center, as a mass vaccination site. Today we talked with primary care about drive-through vaccine clinics. So it's really, it is building in terms of the community, and anticipate as community vaccination will probably be considered in phase 2 and 3. So that's still a month or two away, but that plan is building and will continue to certainly build. Our hospital plan is complete. We have been able to been working on our plan now for a while. We have prioritized the staff roles that we have to, we've used the ministry's matrix to determine which staff are at the highest risk and should be given that vaccine first. So that work is almost complete. We have purchased the Pfizer freezer to be able to support the, or not the Pfizer, the freezer that will support the Pfizer vaccine at minus 80 degrees Celsius. So our plans are certainly together, and if the vaccine was to appear tomorrow, we'd be able to start vaccinating.
Okay, I know people talk in generalities of a couple of months, but what can local people start getting vaccines? Is there any timeline other than just the generalities?
I would be afraid to put any timeline on it because things change so quickly. I know that the ministry was hopeful that they would have all residents in long-term care, residents and staff in long-term care, vaccinated by February the 14th. I think that date is now getting pushed out because of the shortage of the Pfizer vaccine. So that was part of phase one. Healthcare workers are part of phase one. I am certain that it'll probably be March before we're sort of looking at the end of phase one. So phase two, hopefully April, May, June.
Linda Davis, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
It's my pleasure, Rob.
That was my conversation with Linda Davis, CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.